Speak, Lord, your people hear. Amen. The epistle of Paul to the Corinthians could easily be subtitled Ministry in Unpromising Circumstances. Corinth was a large seaport, 50 miles from Athens, and there was a large Jewish community. Because it was a seaport with a population from all over the Mediterranean, it had a reputation for wild living. Paul found work there as a tent maker with Aquila and Priscilla. The Emperor Claudius had expelled Jews and Jewish Christians from Rome in AD 49. Paul worked in Corinth from 50 to 52, shifting his ministry there from the Jews to the Gentiles. Some of the most high-minded and inspired words of Scripture come from the epistles of St. Paul. But it's also important to remember that all of this was done in the midst of building a church and facing tremendous daily discouragements and setbacks. In fact, scholar William Neal gives the opening chapters of 1 Corinthians the title, Cliques, Immorality, and Lawsuits. We often hear from Christian leaders how difficult it is to grow churches in our present culture. And we often feel numbers are going in the wrong direction. Our friends and family are very resistant to any message of faith or spiritual or moral transformation. But the message of Corinthians today is, do not despair. We were born for this very thing. The church of Paul was born in the midst of a pagan world, full of every kind of evil, temptation, and religious confusion. They were perplexed, just as we are, how people could miss this truth. The majority ridiculed, rejected, persecuted, and suppressed them. They were discouraged by strange teachings and false leadership, even amongst their own numbers. But as the Apostle John had taught, to all who did believe, Jesus gave power to become the children of God. In spite of much rejection, Christian faith spread throughout the Roman Empire. And in the centuries following, it even spread to the warlike pagan tribes throughout Europe. In our own day and age, it's advancing in parts of the world that have been dominated by communism and atheism. In my work on the Yukon, I visited many small communities with huge social problems. But everywhere I went, God would be turning hearts, raising up God lovers, summoning people to himself, even in the midst of darkness all around. So a key message of 1 Corinthians to us is, do not despair. God is moving his plan forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a plan that's dependent on human cleverness or devised solutions, but it's a plan that delivers the power of God to all who believe. Transforming power, spiritual power, power for moral transformation, and power to help the light of God dawn to the benefit of all humanity. Human cleverness and human leadership are endlessly confounded because they are out of touch with the truths of God that lie at the very heart of the universe and that have been there for all time. There is a shape to the spiritual universe, and there is a shape to the moral universe, just as there is a shape to the physical universe. Here are just three short examples of how society is confounded when it tries to live apart from God. We listen to the news and we're shocked by endless mass killings. This is in spite of the fact that we've had our teenagers on a diet of the most brutal horror entertainments imaginable. Why are we surprised? We are surprised that advanced societies are aging. Schools are closing, and there aren't enough young people to look after the seniors. in spite of the fact that we've been undermining family life as well as the sanctity of human life for decades. Why are we surprised? We're surprised that we are surrounded by an overdose culture and a death culture. In spite of the fact that we've been promoting for years that human happiness can be found in substances and personal freedoms. Why are we surprised? The newspapers confirm what Scripture teaches. Human cleverness often confounds the human condition. We live in the richest society ever, but we are powerless to solve the most basic problems. Humanity needs a God shock, and the God shock is the Holy Spirit. Without the God shock, society and its leaders are going down all the wrong corridors, and even billion-dollar budgets can't save us. One important confirmation of the truth of God is that life is so painful if you attempt to live without Him. And this is the premise of all the successful 12-step programs. When you put God first, life just starts to sort out. One day I flew into a Yukon town and I was doing door-to-door visiting to our families there. And I had lots of good visits, but one house I went to was full of young children, including toddlers and a little bit older. And there was no adult supervision, but playing on the TV was a DVD of pigs eating people, a terrible horror film that all these little ones were digesting. I had to ask the question, what love is big enough to touch this level of pain and dysfunction? And that's a good question for you to ask about your world as well. What love is big enough to touch this level of pain and dysfunction? Our scripture today tells us the answer to that. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are agents of that one big love. That love is an exclusive, purging love that God invites you and I to enter this day. Christianity without a surrender can't be done. It's antithetical. Faith in the Lord of the universe requires a surrender. So many people want to sentimentalize Christianity. They want to feel a little warm touch of God at their wedding or at their funeral. But this is not what God is calling us to. He's calling us to a radical, transforming covenant. If we don't surrender to God, we surrender to a lot of other things. Ego, sin, selfishness, and pleasure. Canadian sociologist Reginald Bibby talks about consumer religion. People want a little dash of this and a little piece of that, and they want to mix and match bits and pieces of different religions until they have a unique blend, sort of like blending coffee. They want to take religion and conform it to their private beliefs, and they want the gods to surrender to them. They're not seeking a life-transforming surrender. They will take a little bit of half-baked science here, mix it with a little philosophy, season it with a dash of Eastern religion, broaden it with a touch of native spirituality, stretch it with a sprinkling of political theory, and knead it well on the table of personal prejudice and gut reactions. And when they've done this, they surely have something that is very genteel and civilized and palatable. They have something that's very tolerant of the moral behavior of others and tolerance is highly valued in our society, being confused, as it so often is, with the absence of any conviction whatsoever. Then we have the foolishness to think that this smorgasbord approach to religion is something modern. In fact, the opposite is true. It's the way people have been constructing religion since the beginning of time. People choose and follow religious beliefs and practices that permit and condone sexual license, greed, domination, racial hatred, political ideology, and so on. And sadly, even Christian churches themselves have been affected by these influences. But at the core of authentic Christianity is the radical call for conversion, transformation, and surrender to God's love. It is when that surrender happens, the power of the Holy Spirit can work miracles, and lives change, personalities change, relationships change, society changes, and ultimately, history changes. We can think today of all the people who were raised with personalities that are the consequence of terrible parenting. What force is there that's strong enough to heal and repair those stilted personalities? Surely the only force strong enough is the power of God's love. What about all the people who are living in broken and twisted relationships? How can these be healed and transformed? Again, surely the only force strong enough to do it is the miraculous power of God's love. A little more money, a few more social programs, as valuable as these may be, are not going to do it. The heart of humankind needs to be fundamentally revolutionized by an encounter with God. This is our destiny. It's the call to surrender to God's love that must be the one persistent and clear call that the church issues. The only explosive transforming power that we can offer to heal society is the transforming love of the Holy Spirit, the God shock, and the God shock with a love that is big enough to touch the hurt. If people have the love of God in their hearts and the desire to do His will, then all of the caring and helping agencies can be of tremendous benefit. People say seeing is believing, but as Christians we say it's by believing that we see. When I talk about surrender, I'm not talking about some kind of a blind surrender where you just walk off the end of a dock. That's not the kind of surrender I'm talking about. But it's a surrender that comes from an intuition, a deep inner kind of knowing, a spiritual knowing, a discernment, that we see what is really at the heart of the universe in the face of Jesus Christ. We surrender to that transforming love. What about yourself? Have you surrendered in this love? Has your surrender been such that it is exclusive of all that is not of God? Have you discovered the freedom and the joy that obedience to Him brings? And have you allowed the Holy Spirit to enter deep into your personality and mingle with it and heal it and transform it? During communion today, there is a prayer team at the back of the church. Maybe if you're take a turn on that prayer team, would you just mind standing up so we can see who you are at the moment? Who participates on the prayer teams? Great. And who's on the prayer team today? Anyone? Just raise your hand if you're on the prayer team today. Great. So people are always at the back during communion. And it may be this week you're going in for surgery, or you're waiting for the results of a scary test, or you've just had a new grandchild born on the other side of Canada. This is a chance to go back and pray with friends. And also, if you want to surrender to God, you want to take a new step in faith, this is a chance to go back and to pray with friends. After the service, the clergy will be greeting people by the door. If you want prayer, just say, pray with me. And we're happy to do that. There's a wonderful opportunity coming up where Rob and Debs will be mentoring people in the Christian faith. This is not just an opportunity for the parish. I think it's an opportunity for the city. What a wonderful opportunity to be mentored in the faith by such amazing leaders. What a blessing we're providing by providing that opportunity to people. If you're called to take a new step in faith or to recommit to faith, pray with the people at the PAC, talk to the clergy, and take advantage of the mentoring, the beautiful gift that this parish is giving to you. As we come to communion today, which is our altar call to come to communion, ye that truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead the new life, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, kneeling upon your knees. And that's surrendering to God and committed to putting him first. So let us, as we come to communion, surrender to the Lord, to this magnificent, deep love, to this God chalk he wants us to have and he wants the world to have. Let us vigorously issue that life-changing call of Christ in our parish. Praise be to God.